Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, September the 6th. I don't know what to call our day today. Is it kind of cloudy? Is it kind of humid? Maybe a little bit of both. But we're going to talk today about I have a post over at the American Thinker about the fire in Rio. You may be familiar with the story. There was a huge fire, a museum fire, down in Rio. So I've got a few things to say about that. Day number 3 of the Kavanaugh hearings. I think this is the last day. And I pity this man to sit there for hours and watch these Democrats really put on a show for themselves, really. There's nothing they can do to stop the nomination. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But I want to begin with a big story in the last 24 hours, and that is that someone in the Trump White House apparently wrote an opinion piece and published it in the New York Times. But, of course, the New York Times did not reveal the name. So it was an anonymous opinion, I guess, or column. I don't think that's ever happened before, but you never know. Maybe never is a pretty long time, but I don't remember anything recently like that. The piece is interesting because it really doesn't say anything new. I mean, it really doesn't break any new story. It basically says there's a bunch of people in the White House. Doesn't tell you how many or who. But there are people in the White House who apparently are trying to undermine the president, who are concerned about his personality, concerned about the way he governs. Now, the problem with the piece is, or the op-ed, is that it really doesn't go into details of any of this. It doesn't really specify, well, here at this time, the president did this or that. It speaks in generalities, which, of course, I think makes it less credible. So my suggestion is, and I think there ought to be pressure, not so much for the sake of the Trump presidency, but I think for the sake of journalism, actually. I think journalists should be demanding that the New York Times release the name of this person and simply say, you've got to tell us who it is. I think whoever it is should resign from the president, from the White House, resign. And, can always write a book. I'm sure he'll get a pretty good advance to write a book after something like this. But then this person should hold a press conference and answer questions about what he was saying and be very specific. Because I think that right now what we have is just an opinion piece, frankly, without a lot of details, written by someone who apparently works in the White House, but we don't know where in the White House. We don't know what his ranking is. We don't know anything about this person other than it's a senior White House official. Not exactly sure what that means either, a senior White House official. So I think for the interest of the country and for fairness, this person ought to come out and say, I did it, I wrote the piece, and this is why. And these are the examples, and this is why I think that President Trump is a threat to our democracy. He should come out and say that. Then he should take questions. And let's see what happens. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. I think eventually we'll probably know, I suppose. But I think the White House should get very serious about finding out who did this, exposing the person, and making it clear that this type of activity is not going to be allowed in the White House. But I think this person owes it to the American people. I mean, if this is as important as he tries to make it, I mean, this is like a person who's saying, I'm going to save the country from Trump. Well, if you want to save the country from Trump, why don't you come out and tell us why the country should be saved from President Trump? Because I find it interesting that at the same week that we have a book by Bob Woodward, a book, by the way, full of also anonymous sources or unnamed sources. A book, you've had two of the principal players in the Trump White House, Secretary or Chief of Staff Kelly and Secretary Mathis, both of them have denied whatever has been attributed to them. Those are two pretty serious guys. I mean, you know, nobody, you know, you can dislike or like Kelly or Mathis, but those are pretty serious guys with a pretty good credibility. They've denied what's in the book. Now you have this op-ed. I mean, I think it's time for some of these people to come clean and simply say, this is who I am, and this is what I said, why I said it, and this is why I'm trying to protect the country from Trump. Because, you know, it's interesting to me, Trump was elected by the people of the United States. Secondly, if you look around, the economy is doing fairly well. We just had some new figures this morning about jobless claims. Those claims, or the number, goes back to 1969. For those of you who may not remember, 1969 was the year of Apollo 11. 1969 was the year of Woodstock, if you like music. 1969 is a long time ago. And for today's figures to be as low as the ones we had in 1969, that's a pretty good economic performance. But yet, this kind of stuff gets sort of overlooked, because everybody's obsessed with these little things about Trump's personality. My guess is that most Americans are not going to be as obsessed with this Bob Woodward book. In fact, I think most people who read the book are probably going to be disappointed, because sometimes they use these promotions to get you to buy the book. But then when you read the book, it's not as dramatic as the promotion of the book. So my guess is people who pay $30 for this book are the ones who are going to wonder, gee, is this Trump derangement syndrome worth $30? That's what I think a lot of people are going to do. As far as the New York Times, I think this story will disappear in a couple of days. But the larger point here is, I think these people need to come out. The person who wrote this column, he owes it to the country, not about politics or Trump or whatever. He owes it to the country and say, President Trump is a threat to the nation, and here's why, and this is what I've seen, and I'm going to really, really make a sacrifice. I'm going to give up my nice job and benefits, and I'm going to take one for the country, if I could put it that way. And I'm going to tell you everything wrong with this man. I think that's what we need to see. Otherwise, I think it's just politics, and my guess is that most Americans will let it go one ear and out the other. One ear and out the other. So come clean, whoever wrote this, and let's hear what you have to say. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear from my friend Carlos. We'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guedes Harpies. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Tzatziki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Tzatziki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlo's website right under the show description there on the show website. Well, it was on this day in 1995. Now, this one's hard to believe. 23 years ago that Cal Ripken broke Lou Gehrig's consecutive streak of games, 2,131. I remember this one like it was yesterday, because I remember watching this game. Man, where does the time go? 23 years that Cal Ripken broke that record. And we remember on this day, 1972, this was the day of the terrorist attack in Munich. And in many ways, of course, during the Olympics, that is, in Munich, during the Olympics, I think 9 Israeli athletes were killed. It was a bloody thing. It was a horrible thing. And in many ways, this was the beginning of mass attacks, or, you know, these attacks where they would kill a bunch of people. You had this one in 1972, and then came others, of course, culminating with 9/11 many years later. But it sort of began on this day when we began to see the ugly face of terrorism attacking civilians, in this case, Israeli athletes at the Munich Olympics. It was just an absolutely horrible, horrible day. You know, that I have an article this morning I mentioned Thursday morning over at the American Thinker, talking about what happened in Rio. There was a fire in Rio de Janeiro, it is in Brazil. There was a huge fire. It pretty much destroyed a huge number of very historical and rare artifacts that were at this museum. It was a real loss. I mean, from a standpoint of art and everything else in history, it was a real loss. And of course, they're having, this is a big story down in Rio, as you can imagine. So on my post today, I'm talking about the reaction to this fire. And most of the reaction, of course, is that this could have been prevented with a little bit better management, with a little bit more care. How does a fire like this happen? And there doesn't seem to be a quick response. I mean, it's just absolutely pathetic. So the more and more that you read about the reaction to this fire, the more convinced I am that Brazil is in a very serious time right now, where I think the people of Brazil have lost all respect for the political class, that I think the political class in Brazil really faces a crisis of credibility. Now, they're going to have an election here pretty soon, and, I'm not totally familiar. We'll do a show. We'll do a little bit more on all the candidates. But I think Brazil really needs to the next government of Brazil is going to have to really do something dramatic to win back the support of people, because whether it's corruption, the bad economy, now you have this horrible the crime problem that we've talked about before. You have corruption, and you have crime, and now you have this incident at the Rio Museum. I just think that, at this pace, it's hard to see how you can govern a country where there's so much cynicism about the integrity and the honesty of the politicians. So I hope the next president of Brazil understands the job that he's going to be inheriting, because it's not going to be pretty at all. This is day three of the Kavanaugh hearings. I think this is the last one. I think this poor man, I mean, they sit this guy down for all those hours, and then they put his family behind him, which is, I understand, but I mean, you're sitting there hour after hour watching this. I mean, the senators can get up and do something else, but this poor guy is sitting there for hours. And he's getting the same question from the Democrats in 10,000 different ways. Are you going to overturn Roe v. Wade? Are you going to overturn Roe v. Wade? Do you think that Roe v. Wade is settled laws? And, this kind of thing over and over and over again. By the way, speaking of settled law, I thought it was interesting. I have a post coming out Friday morning about this, where the Democrats in California do not think that the Supreme Court decision regarding Janus and the public sector unions is settled law. They're challenging it, in many ways not even enforcing it in California. So I guess we can conclude that the Democrats it depends. If they like the law, then it's a settled law and you cannot change it, or opinion of the Supreme Court, that is, then it's a settled law. If it's a opinion of the Supreme Court that they don't like, then they don't enforce it. I think that's kind of an interesting hypocrisy there in the part of some of these Democrats in California. But I will say this. This is the last day for Judge Kavanaugh. By all indications, he's going to be confirmed, hopefully soon, so they can put an end to this garbage. And probably by the first week of October, he'll be on the job. I think that what we're really seeing in these hearings is a Democrat Party. On one hand, you're seeing, Senator Harris from California, Senator Booker from New Jersey. They're both running for president, or at least so far they are. And they're basically, what you're watching between these two is a contest to see who can tell the Democrats at the first debate in 2020 who beat up Kavanaugh the most. I hit Kavanaugh harder than you did. No, I hit Kavanaugh harder than you did. And that's what this is all about. I think you're also seeing, frankly, a very angry left-wing base demanding that the party do something to Kavanaugh, but there's not much they can do. They don't have the votes. It's as simple as that. They do not have the votes to stop this. So all they can do is put on this show, this silly show, frankly, that we've been watching here for the last couple of days, and it is a silly show. There's nothing of substance, nothing worthwhile. And all they can do is put this on and hope that they can maybe, put a banana peel in front of the judge and he says something stupid. But it looks to me, by watching the judge, that he's pretty well prepared. And he's almost like following by the letter the Gorsuch example. So he's going to get in. He's going to be our next Supreme Court justice. And that's a good thing. Well, thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. We'll talk to you the next time. Bye-bye, everybody.